So we're going to backtrack a little bit. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I took the opportunity this morning to preach on Haggai because we don't get to hear, woohoo, right? We don't get to hear from Haggai very often. In fact, we are following a lectionary of the cycle called the semi-continuous. And if we weren't doing that, we wouldn't hear from Haggai. So I'm going to backtrack. And I know you're excited. Pastor Jeff is. I'm going to backtrack us to what we actually heard from Haggai, because you might have just heard it, but not like let it sink in. So a couple of verses I want you to hear again. I will shake the heavens and the earth, Haggai, talking to his people as the voice of God. I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations so that the treasure of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. This is the most important one for me this morning. The latter splendor of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. In this place, what's the place? The temple, right? So a little history of Haggai. If you don't quite know where Haggai is in the Bible, which most of us don't, even clergy, we have to go to the table of contents and say, where is Haggai? Yeah? So Haggai, Old Testament, in that small section of prophets that you don't hear from very often. Some background about Haggai. This prophet, it's sort of like he gets about 4 months in the spotlight. Not a very big history means a small book in the Bible. So, it's said that Haggai's story came about around 520 BCE, so before the Common Era, so like 2,500 years ago or so, long time ago. So through the other prophets, through the whole story, we know that those who were in exile started coming home about two decades earlier. So they started coming home around 538 BCE. And when they came home, they brought with them a mandate. And the mandate was to rebuild the temple and raise it once again. The temple had been destroyed, if you know a little bit of the history, by the Babylonians around 586. So this is just a shy of a generation of time. The problem, however, is that for some reason unknown to us, those who came home had now started to become a little stuck or a little lethargic. For nearly two decades have passed since their return, and the temple still lie in ruins. So like 20 years had come and gone, and they did absolutely nothing. It was in this situation that we get Haggai, the prophet, who came and rose to the surface. And I think there are three things that are really important about Haggai and his message. The prophet first points out that on behalf of Yahweh, he wants them to realize that after their return, everyone, shop owners and homes, everyone was within new structures, new dwelling places, new homes, everything they had to rebuild from scratch after being taken over and carried into exile. So they're home and they're all living in these wonderful places, but the temple, the place where God was to dwell, still lie in ruin. So then the second point, tagging off of that, is Haggai is basically saying, how's it all working for you? How's it all working for you? You expected to have prosperity and all things good. They pictured a flourishing society again, and it's not happening. The prophet declared that it's probably because they failed to prioritize the rebuilding of the temple, God's house. See, you took care of everybody else, but you didn't take care of God. Now, we could probably argue about the cause and effect here. I don't think God's condemning them because they didn't build the temple, but he is pointing out something very interesting and probably something very strongly related to their faith and their prioritizing God, not just the temple. But the third point is even more powerful. So Haggai, this wonderful prophet, we didn't get to hear it today, but he did offer a threat. And the threat was a drought so severe that the dew itself will fail to materialize. And that is all promised if the people don't shake off their lethargy and get busy building the temple. I mean, talk about a threat, right? You will have no water. Even the dew that's promised at night will not make it to the earth. Well, apparently this is exactly what the people needed, the threat, in order to get them going. For as the text points out, it says, the spirits of both the governor, the high priest, as well as all of the people, they found motivation to get the project moving in earnest. And so they were building away because of the threat. Well, in today's reading, this is now where we hear Haggai. This is a part of the story where we're at. Approximately about 2 months have gone now, and they've started building. And the reader is given to believe that the great strides have finally occurred in the building project, and they're starting to see it take shape. Although it will be quite a few years, several years, in fact, before the temple will be dedicated, the reconstruction has progressed. But there's a problem. And the problem is that they don't like it. They don't like what they're seeing. In fact, there's some people who are probably still old enough or still around and old enough to remember what the old temple looked like before it was destroyed. So there's a bit of nostalgia here, right? Those who are saying, well, I know what it was like when it looked like this. And they're sharing, saying, the new construction's just not good enough, and they're complaining, and they're whining and crying. They're dismayed at the quality of the work and the lack of the splendor compared to what it was replacing. People are massively disappointed. That never happens in communities, does it? Well, it is here where the prophet, I think, really does his best work. Haggai doesn't sugarcoat things, he doesn't sort of wash over things, nor does he try to dispute the memory of those who knew full well what they had seen and experienced in the first temple. Instead, he shifts their thinking. He shifts their gaze onto the future. He encourages them to move beyond their experience of the temple and the building before them now, the construction now, onto the bigger vision of God and what God will yet accomplish. And in the meantime, the prophet declares, we have the presence of God in our midst. This is actually a really big deal for a prophet to say, yes, the temple isn't yet constructed. Yes, it's probably not as glorious and as full of splendor as before, but God is still in our midst. And after all, he says, it is the presence of God, this holy presence that still sustains us, which guides us and protects us. In other words, Haggai helps the people to manage their expectations by giving them a reminder of what is most important. He says, take courage, work, and do not fear. In fact, Haggai reminds them, as a matter of fact, it has nothing to do with the building at all. He reminds them of a time in Egypt when there wasn't even a land to call home, much less a building for God to dwell. And he reminds the people of that divine promise. It's quoted in chapter 2, verse 5. Haggai says, I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. It was always about the presence of God. He also reminded them, God says, my spirit abides with you. In fact, the prophet proclaims that whenever and whatever the artisans and architects cannot do, that's when Yahweh God's self will take the matter into God's own hands and put the splendor of the whole thing alive. It's interesting to think, isn't it, that just a few years before, just 20 years, shy of 20 years, when they returned from exile, they were very excited. They were ready to go. They had like a fire in their belly, ready to do their work and their ministry and the building of the temple. And then it dwindled. And then they became less motivated. Again, never happens. Haggai was on the cusp of watching the community revert back to the immobility and passiveness of their past. I think this is a really timely word from Haggai, given at the moment when hope was nearly all gone. He was able to keep their community's focus and their anxiety a little bit lower. And their anxiety over the progress that didn't seem to be moving at what they hoped for. And I think this allowed them to ultimately to complete the work, which is so central to the overall society's spiritual, cultural, and economic well-being. Yes, the temple is the home of the dwelling place of God, but it is also the heart and soul of their economic well-being, where so much trade happens. Pastor Jeff and I have been for many nights and probably weeks and months worrying about our life as a congregation. So many of us think about our future and worry about the present moment when we are reminded by Haggai and so many other points in Scripture to also focus on God's vision, on God's purpose. We're not alone. Colleagues and churches around the country, they're doing visionary work, they're planning for things and working strides ahead, but we're all confronted with obstacles such as declining membership or aging congregations or shrinking or stretched budgets. We also have splintering denominations, all kinds of things that try to tear us apart. But Haggai, I think, reminds us all today, just as he told his people 2,500 years ago or so, that it's not about our physical plant. It's not and never has been about our per capita giving. It was never about how many people we had on the rolls, and it's never about the size of the denomination. It's never about the influence of our religion or our culture, but it's always about God. Was always about the presence of God in the midst of those who Haggai spoke to and preached to, and it's always about the presence of God in our midst as well. I often think that sometimes our such hard work, our strivings ahead, are producing anxiety instead of deepened faith, both in ourselves but also in our people. When we worry, the harder we work, the less things seem to improve. I think the truth is that none of our conventional methods and means in which we have ever so long invested help us when it isn't first and foremost about God. If we are to be prosperous, it will be because God and God's presence is with us. If we are to be safe and secure, which is something the people that Haggai was with were very concerned about, they're still recovering from exile. If we are to be safe and secure as well, it will be because of that holy presence with us. And if we are to have a future, it will be because of the presence of God. Hunter, if you remember a couple of weeks ago when we did this sort of joint sermon, he interrupted us and came in and told us pastors and everybody, it's not about you. It's not about us, and it's not about this place. It's all about God. For that I say thanks be to God. Amen.